turn to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19. David's writing here, and he makes a statement in verse 14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." And, you know, if we're honest with each other, I think that we'd have to admit there have been times in our lives where none of this has been true, other than the Lord being our redeemer and all. But the part about our words and the meditations, no, they haven't always been acceptable in the sight of the Lord. But David says, I want it to be like that. Well, that's possible. You know, the Bible talks within Romans about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. That impacts your meditations directly. But then also, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the more that we meditate on the things of God, the more our mouth is going to speak those things. And when it comes to the words of our mouth being acceptable in the sight of God, one of the things that we know for sure is that when we speak His Word, it is acceptable in His sight. Look at Isaiah 55. And in verse 11, God says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." So we know that God's word doesn't return void. It accomplishes what He desires. Now, if we think about that and let the depth of that sink in, what it's telling us is that God's word is more effective than anything we can come up with. Now, if He says that His word won't return void, and we see here in Scripture that He has sent His word forth, and it's been recorded here in the Bible, and He's given it for a purpose, that means it will accomplish that purpose. And I know that a lot of people question that. You know, well, you know, how can you be sure about that? Well, if you put it into practice, it works. God sent forth His word, and He said, "Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It does not return void unto him. Everybody who calls upon the name of the Lord is saved. So it produces its, you know, assignment, if you will. So if God's word doesn't return void, then isn't it really in my best interest to make His word my word? Isn't it in my best interest to speak what He has spoken? I mean, think, how can I go wrong when I'm speaking His word? I can go wrong speaking a lot of my own stuff and a lot of my own thoughts, and my words that I speak forth aren't necessarily going to accomplish what I send them forth to accomplish, if you understand what I mean, because they don't have a divine source. But if I take the words that have a divine source and I incorporate them into my own life and I begin to speak those words, then I should come to the place of expecting to see those words come to pass. Now look over in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is in the wilderness and He's being tempted by Satan. And in verse 4, Jesus says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So now I have a little bit more information about this whole thing of God's word. God says, my word won't return void. It will accomplish its task. Then Jesus says, hey, listen, all right along with that, man isn't supposed to live by the natural things. Man is supposed to make a decision to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Well, why should I do that? Because the words that proceed forth out of the mouth of God don't return void. That means His words applied to my life as I live by those words will begin producing what He has sent them forth to produce. So therefore, I make His words my words because His words cannot fail. I begin to live by His words. And as I'm living by His words, then His words will become my words. See this? That doesn't mean that we are, everywhere we go, we're quoting Scripture. You know, you pull up to the Wendy's drive-thru. May I take your order, please? Yes, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. No, you're going to tell them what you want. You know, a double with everything but onion and no biggie fries and a large root beer. Throw a Frosty in. You know what I'm saying? So you're not running around here quoting Scripture all the time, but what you are doing is living by the standard of God's Word, and when you make God's words your words for a given situation, then you can expect to begin to see results. Now, if you look over in Mark chapter 11, briefly, we've learned that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart should be acceptable in the sight of God. We have learned that God's Word does not return void. It accomplishes what He sent it for to accomplish. We've also learned that Jesus said, we're not to live by the natural things. We're to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So, if I'm living by the Word of God, then the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth are going to be acceptable in His sight. There's no question about that. If I'm living by the Word of God, then that means I am going to speak in line with the Word of God. Jesus says in Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I'll be first in line to admit, there are a lot of people who have taken this verse here, and they have completely twisted it around and created, what some people call, name it and claim it. And just whatever you want, just start naming it and claiming it. And it works if it lines up with the Word of God, but it doesn't work if it lines up with my own fleshly desires. It doesn't work if it lines up with greed. If what I'm speaking and what I'm confessing lines up with nothing but what I want for me. But God has said, my word won't return void. God has said, it will accomplish what I sent it forth to accomplish. Jesus says, live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. And in another place, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Here in Mark 11:23, when he says, look, whatever you say, no matter what it is, you speak to the mountain, be thou removed. And don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass, you'll have whatsoever you say. Now, do you think after Jesus tells us that we're supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, do you honestly think that Mark 11:23 is not somehow connected to the Word of God? You really think he's talking about confessing all, a garage full of new Cadillacs and gold chains, a 20,000 square foot house, monster television sets for every bedroom? I mean, do you really think this is what he's talking about? It can't be. Because, now listen, if Jesus says man is supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, then you know for a fact that is how Jesus lived. And he made the statement, I didn't come to do my own will, but I came to do the will of him that sent me. I came to do his works, not my own works, and so forth. So therefore, when Jesus is talking here in Mark 11:23, this has absolutely nothing to do with a name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it kind of doctrine that has been hammered onto the body of Christ for so long. He is talking about speaking the Word of God. He is talking about taking the words that God has spoken and incorporating them into our own lives and then speaking these words. And if speaking these words somehow applies to speaking to a mountain for that mountain to be removed, he says, well, then you can do it. Because if living by the Word of God, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God includes for you speaking to a mountain for that mountain to be removed, then do it and believe it's going to happen. Well, why can I believe it's going to happen? Well, because from Jesus' perspective, you're not speaking out of your own words, you're speaking out of God's words. And God has said, my word won't return void. So the whole faith and confession message that has turned off so many Christians, it is a foundational doctrine for the body of Christ. However, it's based upon God's word, not my desires. It's based upon God's word, not bigger bank accounts. And I'm telling you right now, there are a lot of preachers that when they stand before God, I don't know how he's going to handle this. I mean, I don't understand the whole judgment process, but I do know this. You can't spend 35, 40 years preaching something that is absolutely wrong and misleading the body of Christ and not answer for it some way, somehow. I mean, I used to believe this. Just decide whatever you want and start confessing it. That is not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the Word of God. You say, so what does this mean then to me? Well, what it means to me is this. I can confess whatever I think of, or I can confess the Word of God. Now, which do you think stands a better chance of being blessed by God? Which do you think stands a better chance to have God move with it and act upon it? His words or my own? Well, obviously His. And I truly believe that a lot of Christians that talk about, God doesn't seem to be moving in my life. Well, what kind of words are you giving Him to move with? What is the essence of your confession? What's the fruit of your mouth? If you're not giving Him anything that lines up with His Word, what can He do? If you are speaking things that contradict His Word, He's not going to work with that. And I believe this is one of the reasons why a lot of Christians, they say, well, I tried that confession thing and it just doesn't work. But see, that's impossible if your confession is based upon God's Word. And that's what makes it so easy. If I base my confessions on God's Word, that means I don't have to come up with something. It's already in here. All I have to do is apply it. All I have to do is take this standard, these principles, this truth, and confess it over my life and over circumstances. And it doesn't have to be King James, because if that were true, then all the people who can't speak English would be out of luck now, wouldn't they? You have to speak the Word of God. And people talk about, I've heard this before. Okay, well, praise God, I'm glad you have. But what's the confession of your mouth? What are the words of your mouth? Are you confessing God's Word? See, a lot of people, for example, when you confess God's Word concerning healing, a lot of people would say that, you're just trying to deny what you're fighting. I don't care, just any kind of a sickness or disease. You're ignoring reality. You're living in denial. That's not true. Not at all. Because you see, if I were living in denial and ignoring the reality of a condition that has, a sickness that's attacked my body, if you will, I wouldn't be making confessions of healing. Why would I make a confession of healing if there's no healing that needs to manifest? You see what I'm saying? So it's not a denial of reality. What it is, I'm looking at my body and I'm judging this situation. And there's a sickness that has attacked my body, a virus or a germ or something, and my body's feeling lousy. But what I want to do, instead of continually saying, I feel lousy, I feel lousy, I feel lousy, what I want to do is take the Word of God and apply that to my body. Speak that. One of the most amazing passages to me in Scripture is that time. Remember, Jesus went to Peter's house and his mother-in-law was sick with a fever? And the Bible says Jesus rebuked the fever. Now, you look that word rebuke up if you want to. It means to talk to. To speak at. Jesus spoke to a fever. That doesn't make any sense. I remember I was in a hospital room one time and I was praying for this lady. And, and I'm speaking. I mean, doctor said she was going to die. And so the disease that they said that had afflicted her body, I began speaking to it. And I said, in the name of Jesus, you depart from her body and so forth, and prayed over. And then I left. Well, I didn't see anything happen at the moment. And when I left, later on I found out her daughter was telling me, because, the lady was in a coma. The daughter was telling me, says, yeah, my brother, and the brother wasn't, if he was a Christian, I didn't know it. But the daughter definitely was. She was in church. And she said, yeah, after you left, my brother looked at me and said, he spoke to that. He talked to it. And she said, yeah. He said, no, you don't understand. He talked to, it was meningitis. He said, he talked to meningitis. She said, yeah. He said, no, you don't understand. He talked to meningitis. And she said, yes, I know that. Well, the next morning, Mama all of a sudden just woke up, sat up in bed, and asked for a full breakfast. And they checked her out, and they said there was nothing wrong, but they wouldn't let her go for 3 days because they said, you're supposed to be dead. You don't recover when you're in the coma with this kind of meningitis. Well, what I did was take a look at the life of Jesus And I applied the principle that he demonstrated to me. And in the Word of God, you can rebuke sickness. I know that sounds crazy. And listen, the very people that ought to believe this, the Christians, they're the ones that'll look at you like you're some kind of a nutcase. Well, you talk to it. That's right, I did. Well, that's weird. Why is that weird? Well, I just weird, man. You don't do that. You don't talk to it. You just, like, get them a cold washcloth and wipe their face or something and pray, you know, oh God, you know, heal them and so, but, you know, you talk to the sickness. You're kind of weird. Well, but Jesus did it first. I'm supposed to be conforming to His image. Therefore, it seems to me like if I'm conforming to His image, I'll start doing some of the things He did. Which would include being weird to everybody else, but not to God when I speak to a sickness or a disease. In other words, I begin confessing over it. And this principle applies to everything in our lives, no matter what it is. Now, the one thing we know is that we cannot control the will of another human being. I don't care how much you confess, you cannot control the will of another human being. But through your confession, what you can do is impact, you know, the devils that might be influencing them or, you know, whatever it would be. I mean, you can make an impact in their lives, you know, from that perspective. But you can't change their will. However, if there are, you know, demonic forces impacting their life, lying to them, and you take authority and you begin speaking, confessing, you know, according to the Word of God, and exercising your position in Christ to drive those devils away, you know, the person that's being tormented or afflicted or lied to, whatever the case would be, you know, their eyes can be open, they can see the truth of what's going on, and they'll give their lives to Jesus, you know, hopefully. But at least they'll see things differently. One of the saddest things in the world, and I'm telling you, this is one of the biggest deceptions that Satan has worked on the body of Christ, is to get Christians to believe this doesn't work. And yet, the whole time, God, right here, Jesus has said, live by every word that God has come forth out of God's mouth, and then speak it, confess it, apply it, and believe it's going to take place. And yet, Christians that don't believe this. And Satan laughs at us, Christians that don't believe this. Well, I believe it. And I'll be honest with you, there'll be times when I'm around other believers and, you know, something come up and I'll be confessing or speaking in line with the Word of God, and I can tell they think I'm odd. And they shouldn't. But I can tell they do. There have been prayer lines where I've prayed for people and I speak to the affliction and command in the name of Jesus, you know, leave their bodies. And I can tell that either they or people on either side of them in the prayer line are thinking I'm some kind of weirdo. Well, you know, that sure doesn't make a prayer line easy when you're feeling that spiritual resistance. The bottom line is this. God's Word works better than anybody else's. And so therefore, since He is God, I mean eternal, almighty, deity God, it just stands to reason that if I take what He has said and speak it, create my confessions out of it, and don't doubt. You know, you can't stand there and make a bunch of confessions and in your mind thinking, this ain't working, this ain't working, this ain't working. You're right. Because you're doubting. The better thing to think is, God, I do not fully understand how this works, but You said it works. So therefore, I'm making these confessions and I'm believing that this is going to work. And I'll just keep making these confessions, believing it's going to work. These confessions we're getting ready to make covers all kinds of things. And it also includes spiritual warfare. You know, I don't know what you're going through, but in these confessions, there's a good chance you'll find something that applies to your own life. And if not, well, that's okay. Because these confessions, remember, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So as you're speaking things forth, confessing things that line up with the Word of God, you are confessing truth. You are speaking truth, and it will have an impact on you spiritually. Now, if you have your confessions, go ahead and get them out, and we're just going to go through these. So everybody join with me. Father, it is not Your will that any perish, but that everybody comes to repentance and accepts Jesus as Savior. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I call Grace Christian Center and the Miami Valley in revival and filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Father, send laborers into the harvest field of the lives of the people. People are coming in from the north, south, east, and west. They are being redeemed from the hand of the enemy and are sitting down in the kingdom of God. The lost are being saved. Backsliders are being restored. And they are all filled with the Holy Spirit. The sick, afflicted, and maimed are healed and made whole. Those oppressed or possessed by demonic powers are delivered. Every week, more and more people are coming in. No matter where they are, where they live, or what church they currently attend, the ones who the Father wants here are coming in, and nothing hinders them. The children of my family in this church shall not be the prey of or taken captive by the enemy or give in to any of his temptations to sin. I call them born again, filled with the Holy Spirit and on fire for God. They are his children and they call him their God. Their heart is tender toward him and they serve, fear, and respect him forever and train their children to do the same. They hunger and thirst after righteousness. And the cry of their heart is, come with us and go deeper into God. Let us never forget that He is our Father and we are His children. We have every willing, skillful worker for every area in this ministry. The talents, abilities, ministries, and gifts contained in every person who is a part of this ministry are coming forth in excellence, being developed and used for the glory of Jesus. Jesus, I praise you that by your stripes the people of this church were healed. You took their infirmities and bore their sicknesses. Father, you sent your word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Therefore, I call all the people of this church and all who visit healed, delivered, and totally recovered from every sickness, disease, and infirmity, no matter what the cause or the source. I say even the maimed are made whole. Sickness, disease, infirmities, and afflictions, obey the word of the Lord and leave people's bodies now. No matter what the cause or the source, go in Jesus' name and do not return. The people of this church are praisers and they are worshipers. They praise and worship God in song, on instruments, in dance, and with uplifted hands. They are not shy, self-conscious, or hindered by pride and religious traditions. They sing in the Spirit and with the understanding. We worship the Lord as one. His glory fills this place like a cloud. The people of this church are praying people. They redeem their time and use it wisely. They spend time in fellowship with God, praying in the Spirit and with the understanding. They are edified and built up on their most holy faith. The people of this church are fasting people. They fast and tear down strongholds of the flesh. The people of this church are word people. They meditate in God's word day and night and live by every word that comes from God. They do not allow the doctrines or traditions of man to render the word of God of none effect. They do not compromise by exalting religious beliefs over truth. They are sound in doctrine and prosper in all they do. I know your grace, Lord Jesus, that though you were rich, yet for my sake you became poor, that I, through your poverty, might be rich. God makes all grace abound toward me, and I always have all sufficiency in all things, and I abound to every good work. God supplies all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Father, I operate in your wisdom concerning my finances. I do not give heed to the lies of the enemy that would deceive me into buying what I shouldn't buy, improperly using credit, and not giving to my church and other ministries as I should give. I always give as the Lord desires. The enemy's weapon of poverty and financial foolishness do not succeed in my life. All my money and material things are under the Lordship of Jesus. I am the Lord's faithful steward and use all I have for the purpose of His kingdom. Exceeding abundance and multiplied thousands of dollars come into Grace Ministries every week. Grace Ministries has all the lands, buildings, furnishings, equipment, supplies, and finances necessary to fulfill the works and the will of the Father. There is no lack in this ministry. All of the people, businesses, and organizations who are to give into this ministry are doing so on a continual basis. I thank you, Father, for giving me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. The eyes of my understanding are continually enlightened, and I know the hope of your calling, the riches of the glory of your inheritance in me, and the exceeding greatness of your power toward me, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead. I am filled with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Lord, I walk worthy of you unto all pleasing, and am fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. I am strengthened with all your might, according to your glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. I worship and thank you, Father, because you have made me a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. You have delivered me from the power of darkness and translated me into the kingdom of your dear Son, in whom I have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Jesus, as the Father sent you into the world, you have sent us into the world. We seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All things needed to fulfill your will are added unto us. Our life is all about doing the will of the Father and to finish his work. We do your will, Father. We work your works. We do not speak of ourselves, but whatever you tell us to speak, that is what we say. As Jesus is, so am I in this world. I do not live according to the corrupt ways of the old man. I am renewed in my way of thinking, and I live according to my born-again life, which was given to me by God and was created out of his own righteousness and true holiness. As a member of the body of Christ, I put away lying and always speak the truth. I do not sin in anger, and I do not let a bad temper or wrath control my life. I do not give place to the devil. I do not steal. I am wise with my money and give to help others in need. No form of corruption crosses my lips. I speak that which is godly, edifying, and that ministers grace to others. I do not grieve the Holy Spirit. I put away all bitterness, anger, clamor, evil speaking, wrath, and malice. I am kind and tender-hearted toward others, and I forgive them no matter what they have done, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven me. I love others in the same way that God loves me. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and I am not my own. I have been bought with a price, and the blood and life of Jesus. I am God's prized possession, and I glorify Him in my body and in my spirit. I choose to live daily according to the life and nature of God in me, and I do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I bear the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I am Christ, and I have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. I have God's spiritual life, and I live according to that life. I keep my body, mind, will, and emotions under control, making them subject unto the life and will of God, and do not bring a reproach on my testimony of Christ. I present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable thing to do. I do not remain conformed to this world's way of thinking. I am renewed in my mind and think according to God's life, character, will, and word. I grow continually in my knowledge and understanding of His good, acceptable, and perfect will for my life and calling. I cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I think of things that are honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, virtuous, and worthy of praise. I do not worry about anything, but cast all my care upon you, Lord, and I praise and worship you. The peace of God which passes all understanding guards my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, and I reign in life by him. I say that the prince of the kingdom of Miami Valley is defeated. I say that the principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spirits of wickedness, seducing spirits, and devils of wrong doctrine are totally and completely defeated. They cannot hinder any part of God's will from happening. I call their grip over people, finances, and material things broken and loosed. Satan and his devils are all defeated, and Jesus Christ is Lord. I speak to all of you evil spirits and command you to obey the word of the Lord. I rebuke you and declare that your work in these things confessed is over. Jesus has given to me the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Satan, you and all your devils are bound concerning this ministry, the people of this ministry, and the Miami Valley. None of your plans for stealing, killing, or destroying will succeed. None of your weapons formed against us or our property will prosper. Every lie and condemning word that crosses your lips, I call condemned, for this is my heritage as a servant of the Lord. I and the families associated with this ministry dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Lord is our refuge and our fortress. He is our God, and we trust only in Him. Through Him we are delivered from every snare of the devil and every one of his sicknesses and afflictions. We are covered with God's glory, and in His presence we trust. His truth is our shield and strength. Satan, we are not afraid of anything you try to use to terrorize us. No matter what we see happening around us, it will not come near our lives, our families, our homes, or this ministry. We will one day witness your final judgment as you are cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. The Lord is our refuge, and His presence is our daily habitation. No evil befalls us, and no plague or affliction touches us or our families or takes up residence in our homes. God has assigned the angels charge over us. They keep watch over us in all we do and wherever we go, bearing us up in their hands and keeping us from harm. We operate in authority over all demonic forces, and we trample them under our feet. We have set our love upon God alone, and He delivers us continually. We are set on high with Him because we know His name. We call upon Him and He answers us. He is with us when any form of adversity strikes, and He delivers us and honors us. Our steadfast reputation in Him is known throughout your kingdom, Satan, and you and all your devils fear us because we operate in the authority of Christ. Everywhere we place our foot is claimed for the kingdom of God's dear Son. We are satisfied with long life and live daily in salvation's victory. I call revival loosed in this ministry and in the Miami Valley. I call all the people who God desires to be a part of this ministry loosed to be here. I call all the buildings, properties, furnishings, equipment, and finances necessary for the fulfillment of the Father's will to be accomplished in this ministry loosed to continually flow into our possession for the purpose of the kingdom. I call this a completed work of God, and there is nothing Satan can do to stop it. I am a believer, and the signs of a believer follow me. Satan, I call you and all of your devils cast out from any place or position of influence and interference in this ministry, the lives of the people of this ministry, and the Miami Valley. Satan, just as Jesus saw you fall as lightning from heaven, I call you and all your devils fallen from all levels of authority, influence, and interference in this ministry, the lives of the people of this ministry, and the Miami Valley. The Father has given me the full revelation and understanding that Jesus has given me power over you, Satan, and all your devils and all your power. All of you spirits are subject unto me in Jesus' name. Nothing of yours shall by any means hurt me, my family, this ministry, or the Miami Valley. I rejoice because my name is written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. The exceeding greatness of God's power is given to me according to the working of His mighty power. God raised Jesus from the dead and set Him at His own right hand. He has in the same way raised me from spiritual death and made me to sit with Jesus next to Him. Jesus has power and authority far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. All things are under His feet and He is the head over all things. The fullness of Christ fills me. I am seated with Jesus, and I, too, have power and authority far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name and work associated with Satan and all his devils. In Christ, I am over all things. Satan, I call all your plans to interfere with God's will being accomplished in my life, my family's life, this ministry, and the Miami Valley filled with confusion. You do not win, you only lose. You and all your devils are under the feet of Jesus. Therefore, you are also under my feet. with the exceeding greatness of God's power and authority in me, in Jesus' name, I declare that you will not be stealing, you will not be killing, and you will not be destroying in any way, shape, or form. The overflowing, abundant life of Christ continually dominates every work of death you try to devise. Jesus is highly exalted, and in Him I am highly exalted. The name of Jesus is above every name. I have inherited the right to use the power and authority in Jesus' name. I bow my life to the Lordship of Jesus. I willingly declare that Jesus is the Lord of every part of my life. Satan, you and all your devils must bow in submission to the name that is above you, the name of Jesus. You cannot rise above the authority of Jesus, and you cannot rise above my authority in Jesus. In Jesus, I have dominion over you. I declare that my life, my family, this ministry, and the Miami Valley are the domain of Christ. In Jesus' name, I call all your works in all these areas over. Satan, Jesus has completely and totally defeated you and all of your principalities, powers, and devils. He made an open show of you and triumphed over you for all eternity. I thank and praise God that in the Lord Jesus Christ, He has given to me that same victory. I call you and everything about you and your devils completely, totally, and thoroughly defeated in my life, my family, this ministry in the Miami Valley. Satan, you have lost. The victory of Christ is known in my life, my family, this ministry in the Miami Valley. Angels, you are dispatched to go forth and create atmospheres conducive for all of these things to happen. Father, may they be empowered from on high to accomplish these things. Father, your word has gone forth, and it will not return void. It will accomplish your will and prosper as it has been sent. I have spoken according to your will and believe that those things which I have said shall come to pass. In Jesus' name, I ask that you become involved on a daily basis with your word that I have spoken, adding your anointing and power to see these things accomplished. We believe that we receive these prayers answered. May Jesus be glorified and you glorified in Him as these things are accomplished and fulfilled. In Jesus' name, by faith, we call all of these things a completed work. Satan, you are defeated in my life. Satan, you are defeated in my family. Satan, you are defeated in this ministry. Satan, you are defeated in the Miami Valley. Just as the Father's will is always done in heaven, the Father's will is always being done in my life. The Father's will is always being done in my family. The Father's will is always being done in this ministry. The Father's will is always being done in the Miami Valley. Jesus, you are Lord over this ministry. Jesus, you are Lord over the Miami Valley. My life is a reflection of revival. This ministry is in revival. The Miami Valley is in revival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, we praise your name. Jesus, we glorify you. We magnify you. We worship you. Father, your word has gone forth. And in the realm of the natural, we don't see the impact it is making. But Father, we know in the realm of the Spirit, what we have done here tonight is making an impact. We know we have had an effect on the camp of the enemy. We know this. And Father, we know according to your word, what has been spoken will not return void. But Father, we are, as they would say, gaining ground continually. Father, we know that there are a lot of people in this world that will not receive Jesus as Savior. Your word reveals that. But at the same time, we also know that there are a lot of people out there who are being impacted by what we said tonight, and they will come to know Jesus. Father, it's like Paul wrote, that some sow and some water, but you give the increase. Well, tonight, Father, we have sown your word. And there are people out there who have benefited from your word being sown. We don't know who all of them are. And we may never know who all of them are. But we want you to take this word that we have spoken tonight, all of these confessions. And Father, we want you to use them for the glory of Jesus. We want you to use them however you see fit. Father, what a anointing rests upon these confessions. May it have an impact on people all over the place. We don't have to know everybody who is impacted. Because, Father, the souls that are harvested into your kingdom will meet them someday, either here on earth or in glory. What matters, Father, is that we have spoken your will into this world tonight. So Father, we praise You. We glorify You. Jesus, we magnify Your holy name. Victory is in this place tonight, Father. And it's not based upon our emotions. It's based totally on what You have said in Your Word. I worship You, Jesus. Praise Your holy name. Glory and honor to You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless Your name, Jesus. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. I thank You, Father, that even now, family members of ours are being impacted by these confessions. Whether they tell us they are or not, we know they are. Because You're working with Your Word. Father, we bless You and honor You. It is our desire to be used by You, however You want, to bring about the fullness of Your will for Your kingdom. I worship You, Jesus. And Father, I just want to thank You. Thank You so much for what You're doing here and what is going to be done as a result of these confessions. Now, what I'd like you to do tonight, just say this after me. Father, I lift up to You our upcoming conference in April. And I ask You to begin speaking to more and more people about attending this conference. I say that all the people You want attending will attend. We're not worried about the space in this building. We want those people here. So Father, by faith, we call them in. And we ask You to help them to understand how to arrange their schedules so they can be here. And we ask You to help them financially so that they can be here. Father, we ask You to minister to us and to everyone else who will be involved in this conference. Please minister to us Your wisdom, Your favor, and Your will concerning every aspect of this conference. We say now, in the name of Jesus, Satan, nothing you do will have an impact on this conference. Only the will of the Father and His glory will be known. Father, I thank You for helping me to understand everything You want me to do in this conference. And Father, I ask that all I have confessed over this conference be applied to the conference in Australia. May Your will be done here in April and in Australia and in New Zealand. And we rejoice now and we call it done. In Jesus' name, amen.